First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, it's not Alan Nathan this morning, and today it is Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today, as I sometimes do when Alan is on assignment or elsewhere engaged. So today there was some breaking news that I'd like to address before we get into our stellar list of guests here. And the headline was an interesting one. Tells you so much about the media and the way that they even present things, let alone supposedly report things. Headline in most of the propaganda media was, Supreme Court says Trump can appear on 2024 ballot overturning Colorado ruling. Some of you may know that I'm a native of Denver, Colorado, though I don't live in that city anymore. But I do like to watch what goes on in Colorado because what has happened in Colorado is happening in the rest of the country. Formerly relatively free states where they've developed a complete majority of Democrats, supermajority in the legislature, no state officials that are sent to Washington. They're all Democrats. It's a Democrat-controlled and run city state. Now, and Colorado, with its Democrat Secretary of State backed by Soros and company, wanted to take Trump off the ballot. And of course, you know that. The headline was an interesting one for several reasons. First, it's not that he can appear on the ballot. He must appear on the ballot. And of course, they left that out because they want you to think that Trump and anybody who supports him has to go with hat in hand to ask permission to run for president, a former president, by others who have deemed him guilty with no charge, no conviction, and the charge is a phony one, which is he somehow led an insurrection, which is preposterous, and we're not going to try to litigate that on its face, but the government suppressed information through people in prison, and they're still in prison to this day, and tried to link Trump to it when all they can come up with, there's so much here, is that Trump on national television said, now, please walk peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol. And that they turned into a show trial for months while suppressing any kind of exculpatory evidence. Now, many Democrats have moved to try and disqualify Trump because they're terrified he actually might win. I would submit, I'm not so sure how terrified they are. There are other segments who know that they have done a great job of compromising our elections, but they don't mind if other true believers go after Trump in unbelievably fascistic tactics and just remove their prime opponent and greatest threat to their control and power and communist ideas by just taking him off the ballot. That's all they have to do. Just take him off the ballot and say, well, you are not allowed to vote for this person. And if you dare to even like him, support him, or let him speak, you are a domestic terrorist. This is all hyperbole. It is deadly dangerous kinds of tactics. But getting back to this headline here, wants people to believe that the Supreme Court was magnanimous in its willingness to allow Trump to appear on the ballot. But the first headline gives it all away, and most people only look, the first sentence of this article gives it away. But a lot of people just look at the headlines and they think they know the story. You don't even know the story when you read the article these days, because journalism is just about dead. Dissent is maligned and called misinformation simply for having a different opinion. Remember, these were the Democrats who were at the forefront of free speech, but not any longer. Headline: the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday said states cannot bar former President Donald Trump from the ballot using a rarely invoked provision of the 14th Amendment. Of course, the 14th Amendment, which I am no scholar, is saying that he led an insurrection. They have not proven that case in any way, shape, or form, because he didn't lead an insurrection. This is all. Here's my point, ladies and gentlemen, because I could talk a long time on this, and in fact, I am. Regardless of whether they got away with it this time, that is to remove their prime and only real threat from the ballot. I don't think they'd mind if Nikki Haley ran. They would just bash her. I don't think they want her to be the first female president, that's for sure. But she is pure establishment. She does business with the left. Many people, the left has been funding her campaign. So the very idea that they would even try to remove their greatest opponent and competitor from the ballot and not allow citizens to vote for him indicts them and what they're really about. I think that Republicans often get bogged down being on the defense, playing defense all the time. And the last thing, the most unsightly and shameful thing we can do is say, oh, thank you, Supreme Court, for letting our candidate run for president. Somebody who's already served as president for 4 years. And if anybody doesn't have the memory of a pea, remembers that we had peace, we had prosperity, we had a president who stood up for America, and all of the subsequent hyperbole, being terrified and frightened that Trump might bring more peace and prosperity, and he might go after the people that have been trying to destroy that in this country. It's an amazing thing where up is down, left is right, in is out. Everything is in an upside down proposition. But the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade right now, and they are calling the shots. What is an insult to injury is that while calling the shots, they still claim to be victims. They still claim that they're being prevented from doing exactly what they're doing. So you have to learn to kind of, shall we say, decode. And here is a perfect example of decoding what the left does. You have to look at what they do, not what they say about it. Don't pay attention to the rhetoric, ladies and gentlemen, because The rhetoric is meant to get you off the track of what they're actually doing. When they think it is perfectly okay in a formerly free country to remove their prime competitor, someone who's already served as president and who stands today as the single greatest threat to their globalist communist ideology, they're selling out of American sovereignty. We don't even want to go, but we could, about their trying to pass off someone who is the most corrupt and obviously suffering from some form of advancing dementia, trying to pass that person off as a president of the United States. How much respect do they have for this country that they think it is perfectly okay for a person like that to serve, you know, at least to appear to be serving as president of the United States? Now, I have never been given to conspiracy theories. We're living in a time when not all, but many conspiracy theories, people that were called conspiracy theories, are now turning out to be true. So keep your own counsel. Don't even believe me. I continue to watch this thing unfold, and it's astonishing. Conservatives who know the Constitution don't play defense. Put it back on them and ask them why they're doing so many unconstitutional things. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our first guest here on the Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away. You're listening to the Main Street Radio Network. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And joining us, our very first guest, to talk about another ugly, terrible aspect of illegal immigration, is William Gein, President and National Director of Americans for Legal Immigration, PAC. William Gein joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Thank you, William. We appreciate having you on.
Glad to be with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I don't know if our listeners have necessarily up on yet another terrible murder by an illegal alien. I hope I pronounce her name right. Laken Riley. Is it Laken?
Mm-hmm.
Laken Riley.
Yes.
Give us a little background on this so people will know before we continue a little further with a numerous number of questions. Go ahead.
Well, let me start off by saying we originally didn't respond quickly to the news coverage on the Laken Riley because the Laken Riley case actually comparatively received quite a bit of coverage on Fox News and some other locations, which is not the norm. You have to understand that the murder or the death of an American by an illegal alien invader that you hear about is only the pinpoint top of a much larger iceberg that's often censored and suppressed by legacy media and big tech companies like Google and our own federal government. So it's a small miracle anytime anybody actually hears about one of these. But the numbers, we don't know the exact numbers. No one knows the exact numbers of how many Americans are killed by illegal immigrants per year. But about 10 years ago, we did a study at ALIPAC based off of anecdotal information coming in through police reports and news articles we were archiving at the time, and we clocked it at over 3,000 Americans per year being killed by illegal immigrants. But that's before Joe Biden dumped another 7 to 10 million on top of our heads in the last 3.5 years. So the numbers now we would expect to be far higher than 3,000. And listen, the estimate of 3,000 per year was a very conservative estimate. We went as low as we could go, but 3,000, that's an important number because that's close to the numbers that we lost in one day on 9/11/2004,
right,
which influenced the formation of our organization. But one person, one Lakin Riley, one person is too much. Nobody in America should be raped or killed or injured or robbed by any illegal immigrant invader because our borders should be secured, our existing immigration laws should be enforced, and as soon as any police detect one of these invaders drunk driving or ripping somebody off or selling fentanyl, they should be out of here.
You know what, William? I want to jump ahead because our segment is so short and ask you, why? Everybody knows, it seems, that cops are not allowed and do not ask when they encounter someone who cannot speak English, who's driving on the wrong side of the road, which is happening more and more and more, and a numerous number of things. They are not allowed to ask whether that person is legal in this country. Why is it? And why has it been so hard to get cops to do that?
Well, you know, everything we talk about these days, you have to split it into pre- and post-disaster. And pre-pandemic disaster, 2020, you know, a lot of police agencies and sheriffs were joining a program called, for a while, they were joining something called 287G. And the 287G program, which cost a little bit of money, the local police had to train an officer to access the federal databases. But when they processed people down at the jailhouse for whatever crime that was significant enough for them to go to the jailhouse, you know, this wasn't a speeding ticket type situation. This wasn't a, you know, open container like on the sidewalk type thing. This was if you went to jail, they had to process everybody, not just Hispanics, because, you know, the ACLU and the DOJ will come sweeping in and like, oh, you're profiling, you naughty racist, because, you know, all you white people in America are just racist waiting to do something bad to somebody. You know, they came in and they would run everybody went in the jailhouse, and if you weren't a citizen, they'd notify ICE, and then ICE would be, you know, put a hold on you. But then, you know, Barack Obama gutted the program, and then Biden came in and completely eradicated the program, pretty much to where, you know, if you try to get illegal immigrants out of your jailhouse or out of your voter registration files, the federal government's going to fight you almost every step of the way.
Yeah, but they're not even allowed to ask, it seems. There are so many people in leadership, I guess, and cops that have been, I don't know. It should be a standard operating procedure, don't you think, that if you're catching someone, it's true of all other kinds of crimes. If they get you for a broken taillight and they find fentanyl in your car, they're going to, I mean, it's probable cause to ask you and make sure that you're not committing other crimes. Well, you know, coming through our borders illegally is a crime. So if they get you for a broken taillight, shouldn't it be standard operating procedure that they ask you if you're a citizen, if you came here illegally? Obviously, charging them and whatever is a different story, but they don't even ask.
We are seeing cases coming in from places like Virginia and other spots around the country where people, illegal immigrants, have been charged with raping children, and they have been released back out on American streets without being held or deported.
Horrifying, horrifying. I want to ask one other question before we talk about your organization, because we've got to run soon. I was asking on my Twitter feed, all of a sudden, Biden is feigning interest in the unbelievable crisis on our border, which he caused, which he decided was Trump's fault, which was hilarious. How come Republicans and others are not on the offense asking him why his sudden concern for the border is not racist or xenophobic?
Well, we have some Republicans that are hitting Biden hard, but, you know, unfortunately we have those type of Lindsey Graham, Mitt Romney Republicans.
Globalists.
Who, well, yes, and whether they went to Epstein Island or whatever they have on them, they're pretty much, you know, part of the uniparty Democrat system, and they're not going to do anything to hold them accountable. And apparently the Biden administration's plan to ride on out through this election cycle is just to big Nazi Germany level lie about things. Biden looked into a camera the other day when asked about, I think, the death of Lakin Riley or someone else, because there's been a 2-year-old was murdered by an illegal and several other high profile deaths that were able to be reported. And he said, I don't have the authority to secure the border. And that's absolutely ridiculous. Not only does he have the
authority. It's prime responsibility.
Right? He's required to.
Yes.
He's required, and not just by the existing laws, the Constitution that he swore an oath to has Article 4, Section 4, that all states shall be protected from invasion and assured of a republic, a functioning republic, and we don't have either one. And the and I know we're about out of time, but I want everybody out there to realize that these are not future Democrat voters. There's a lot of memes and jokes online. Oh, these are future Democrats. They want these people to eventually get citizenship and vote.
No.
They're voting this year. In 2024. There's nothing stopping illegal aliens and non-citizens from voting other than it's a felony and a box they got to check.
Which they already committed a crime. Tell everybody they can find your organization. Sorry, we have to run.
We need your attention and support, please, at alipac.us. That's alipac.us.
Alipac.us. William Gein, thank you so much for joining us. It was much too short. We appreciate your time. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Israel and Anthony Blinken. Oh, boy, don't go away for that. We'll be right back on The Alan Nathan Show.
I'm Marissa Brainy with some party hosting tips for your game day watch party in partnership with Target, my favorite one-stop shop. This year, Target's pulled together three game day spreads for under $25, a cheeseburger taco board, fun twist on a traditional, a wing basket, gotta have those wings, and a nacho bar. Love these for great finger food options that won't break the bank. If you're looking for snacks, Target's Good & Gather brand has you covered, from chips and popcorns to great dips. And in terms of drinks, you want some non-alcoholic versions as well. So think about varieties like Lagunitas, Athletic Brewing Co., and Good & Gather's Sparkling Water. The cherry cola flavor is a must. Don't forget, Target offers same-day delivery and drive-up options, which make it really easy to stick to your list and your budget. Just head to Target.com or the Target app.
Hello, I'm Peter Castleman, and I'm the co-author of this book, Eat to Think. We come into this world with a beautiful brain. The most amazing part of that, about the brain.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we're moving right along in our first hour of The Alan Nathan Show with a founder of Reconnecting Ministries and author and producer of The Romans 9/11 Project. We'll have to learn more about what that is. His name is Grant Berry. Grant, thank you so much for joining us here on The Alan Nathan Show.
Karen, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Why don't we just start at the top and ask you a little bit. Usually people do it at the end. I'm going to do it at the beginning. Reconnecting Ministries, why don't you tell us about that and the Romans 9/11 Project? What's that all about?
The Romans 9/11 Project is a specific teaching project. It's kind of similar to an alpha-type course, if you're familiar with that, to help people in the church, both Jewish and Gentile believers, find the fullness of Yeshua's heart cry of John 17, that his family would be one, that the world would know. And we're very much focused on restoring love and unity in the church and in the world, and specifically between Jewish and Gentile believers, now that Israel is beginning to awaken spiritually.
Wait. So when you call them Jewish believers, you're talking to a Jew who, you know, is a Jew. So you're talking about Jews who believe in Jesus, right? Not that there's anything criminal about that,
but does your group
accept and allow and welcome and not try to convert Jews and just let Jews and Christians be Jews and Christians, just out of curiosity?
Karen, as a Jewish believer, in reality, Jews do not convert to Jesus. They return. I'm a Messianic Jew, and we believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So
yeah.
We believe that both Jewish and Gentile believers need to cross over from the curse of the law to believe in Jesus.
Okay, let me stop you there, because if I go down this road, because we have a very strong difference of opinion, and thankfully we have religious pluralism in America, although I do sense a marvelous accent. Are you from the British Isles by chance, or Australian?
Yes, I'm a British Jew.
Great. So rather than to go down the road of where we disagree, and that's just this host that you're talking to, because I've had huge discussions about this, what I really want to focus on, because I was curious about your group, is where we can come together regardless of our theology. That gets us into what you're here really to talk about, which is that Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has fired back against Israel's planned settlement into the West Bank. And on top of that, we can piggyback our U.S. government in America here is pressuring and forcing Israel to engage in a ceasefire. My understanding is possibly because of Ramadan, or using that as an excuse. And so I'd like you to speak to that and what you're doing about it. First, let's talk about the planned settlements and where you stand and your involvement in that, and then we'll get into the other issue about the ceasefire.
Well, I think, Karen, I think this whole movement, I don't usually comment on political issues. I tend to focus more on how they're related to spiritual issues, to address more of the roots of things. But I will say, I just think this whole move right now is to try and reestablish a political focus for a two-state solution. And when we think about that, Karen, I mean, this is just absurd at the moment. Look what happened when Israel gave Gaza back to the Palestinians, instead of using all the money that came in from around the world to help the people and to begin to give them a better life. Look what they did with it. Spending millions and millions of dollars on a tunnel infrastructure. There has to be a better solution. There has to be a better way. There needs to be a change of heart before there can be any peace. The Palestinian and Arab people around the state of Israel have to acknowledge Israel's right to exist. And if that doesn't take place, how can you possibly? I mean, we're just seeing the unfortunate fruit of trying to live with a group of people that just want you removed.
Well, and it is part of their book, speaking of theology. And let's face it, Jerusalem and Israel and that part of the world is often referred to as the birthplace of mankind. And so many religions place claim to it, which is one of the reasons why it seems to be on the front burner today. But most people will agree that the Quran does indeed say that you should kill Jews wherever you find them. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether they agree with you or not. You need to kill them. So that's kind of hard to have a one-handed handshake when the other side wants you dead. It sounds to me like that's part of what you're saying. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. And that has to change before anything. And the fact that the Western political governments are trying to move and refocus on a two-state solution is honestly, Karen, it's absurd. Mm. You know, there must be a change of heart, and that's where we're heading. That's what we're focused on. And it's not that we're against the Palestinian people. It's quite the contrary. it's interesting, but if you go back to the Passover story and you look at how the direction that God gave to Moses to embrace those who are from other nations, foreigners, that if they came under the covenants and the obedience and the direction that was given to the people of Israel, they could be totally equal with them. And think of all the Arab people.
Totally equal? I'm not sure I understand that. What do you mean totally equal?
Well, think of when Israel became a state, right? They gave the opportunity to all the Arab people to become Israeli citizens.
That's true.
And that all the other Arabs at the time and Palestinians were told by the Arab nations around them back in 1947-48 to leave because, you know, they were going to wipe Israel off the map.
Right.
And of course that didn't happen. And many of those people got uprooted from their homes and their land at that time.
And then they were taught to hate Israel for it. Then they were taught to hate Israel for it.
Yeah. Yeah. There are 1.5 million Arab Israelis living in Israel today. Mm-hmm. So they have equal rights to the Jewish people. You know, that olive branch has been offered, and ultimately that will be the olive branch that will bring all those Arab people that want to live with Israel in peace if we follow the outline of Scripture and the direction that it's going when Mashiach comes.
Okay. What will be the olive branch? What's going to be the olive branch in your view?
Well, like I said, I don't think there can be an olive branch until there's a change of heart in the people. And that's really the biggest issue. And is that going to happen?
And do you see changing the heart, you know, other than converting them to Christianity, what is there any other way you believe that you could have a change of heart, that people could live alongside one another, because, you know, that involves changing them from their religion to yours. So how about we set that aside and ask, what way would you want to have them a change of heart?
Go ahead, Karen. I'm so sorry.
I don't want to interrupt your answer to that. It's a huge question. You're so kind to stay with us for another segment. And I'm going to give you a chance to answer that top of the next segment, okay? Without interruption. Okay. Can you do that? We're talking to Grant Barry, founder of Reconnecting Ministries and author of Romans 9/11 Project. We'll be back with his answer to that question when we return right after this on The Alan Nathan Show.
The Citizens Award program is one that we started here 25 years ago to honor the businesses that are taking the lead in solving the world's biggest challenges. And what we find they're really doing is using talent, their resources, really digging deep into the expertise they have as a company and putting that work for their communities. This year, we got to honor 11 organizations all over the country who are really making a difference in their communities. We cast a wide net. We've got 9 categories. We've got large business, small business, medium-sized business, civic organizations. And the breadth of what they're doing is just astonishing and inspiring. You've got companies like Medtronic, whose employees volunteered 190,000 hours in their communities last year. Please go to uschamberfoundation.org. You can take an idea and make it right for the place that you live and the people that you serve.
The holidays are here, and Amazon Access is making shopping on Amazon even easier and more affordable this season. Whether you're checking things off your holiday gift list or prepping to host a family feast, Amazon.com/access has programs, discounts, and features for eligible customers to save big. With Prime Access, qualifying government assistance recipients can get over 50% off a regular Prime membership while still enjoying all the benefits of Prime, including fast, free delivery on every order. Eligible customers can shop everyday essentials like shampoo, paper towels, and coffee, as well as festive products like holiday gifts, hosting must-haves, and decor for only $6.99 a month. Eligible customers can also register their Snap EBT cards on Amazon to order eligible groceries online for delivery or pickup. In addition, they can use Snap benefits on Amazon.com to shop shelf-stable pantry items and shop fresh produce from Amazon Fresh. Find discounts, coupons, convenient pickup options, and more with Amazon Access. Visit Amazon.com/access to learn how you can save big this holiday season. Terms and conditions apply. Sponsored by Amazon.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, and we are delighted to have Grant Berry stay with us, founder of Reconnecting Ministries and author and producer of the Romans 9/11 Project. We're going to pick up where we left off. Thank you so much for staying with us for one more segment, Grant Berry. We so appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Great. So just to recap, I asked you, how do you attain or how do you bring about a change of heart that we were talking about before? You know, other than, I know your doctrine says that you want to evangelize or convert others to Christianity, but what is there anything else you can do in your mind to create a change of heart?
I would like to, if you give me an opportunity to respond to that comment towards the end, so I can bring some greater clarification, because we don't believe that Jews are to convert to Christianity. We believe they're to come to their Messiah. But we're talking.
You believe
about
what? What did you say? I didn't hear you.
We are looking to help Jewish people find their Messiah. So, but you know, Karen, we're talking about an olive branch.
Let me just stop you there for one second, because I just want to say for the record, and you do not have to agree with me. I know you don't, but the Messiah was a Jewish idea, and so to claim that you have the right answer to who the Messiah is, it was a Jewish idea. And Jews don't believe that the Messiah would be a deity, a God. I know Christians do, but to come to Jews and say, you've got it all wrong, and we have the right answer, and we want to help you to become a Christian and therefore change your religion, is not exactly respectful. However, we're on the same page as far as wanting peace and respect in the Middle East and have people stop killing, right?
Yeah, well, Karen, maybe this may help. Christians are waiting for their Messiah to return. Jews are waiting for the Messiah to come. We are waiting for Mashiach. And
yeah, but the Mashiach, you have to define what that is. You can't use the same definition.
We can agree maybe not to go further in that, because we have a slightly different opinion there. But my point is...
It's pretty big. It's a pretty big opinion.
My point is, there can be no olive branch given from the Israelis until the Palestinians and the Arab people around them acknowledge Israel's right to live in
to live,
and
right.
they want to live in peace. Right. And how can you
they
live
do.
With a neighbor that's determined to wipe you out?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, there has to be a change of heart first. And for the governing authorities of our own government, and also someone in Western Europe, to start like talking about a two-state solution again, that's a very humanistic approach.
Finish your sentence,
never
going to
get resolved.
Right.
Go ahead, please.
Right. I want to say for the record, too, that this is a perennial question among theologists and theologians and just everyday people about their view or idea, theology. But the really important thing, because I grew up among people that were constant, I mean, how do I put this? There's a big difference between attempting to persuade, which you are doing and which Christians do, and attempting to convert at the point of a sword or a gun. And I think that needs to be said, because in that part of the world, Muslims want to Islamize, not all of them do, but the idea is to create a Muslim world and make everybody Muslim. The difference is, if Christians want to evangelize and make more Christians, which is part of the doctrine, they are no longer... they did years ago, doing it at the point of a gun, okay, or at the point of a sword. If you can't persuade,
thank God for that, Karen.
and that's one of the things I just wanted to say for the record, because what we're doing here is part of what is the unique thing in America that we are losing, which is respect for dissent, respect for differences of opinion, and being able to talk out our differences without
Absolutely.
Grabbing weapons or demonizing the other or censoring the other and saying that you're not allowed to speak. Because it's such a short segment, I want you to speak to one other thing. That is, you said you didn't want to talk about politics, and yet communist globalist kind of ideology, the first thing they want to do is co-opt people of faith to think of government as God instead of God as God. And that bypasses the whole religious argument into that's one of the reasons why I want you to comment that this is such an important part of the world, because the globalist communists, they don't like anyone of faith because that means they have to compete with God and they want to be God. Could you comment on that?
Well, we refer to those issues, Karen, as light and darkness, and darkness is ever increasing in the world, which means that light needs to arise. And we're tracking with, I would say, a smaller group of people in the church and the messianic body of believers that are really trying to focus on answering Jesus's prayer, which is to show love and forgiveness. And ultimately, you know, Scripture says those who live by the sword die by the sword. We know there's a place for nations to defend themselves, and Israel must do everything it can. And we have to win this public relations war that is constantly being spun against Israel. But we have also a crazy situation going on in Palestine with you know, people getting close to starvation. So we've got some extremely challenging
situations. Well, Palestine isn't
here,
a country. Palestine is not a country. That term came into an existence in about the 40s or 50s. So you're talking about in the Middle East and Gaza, but it's not Palestine.
Yeah, we're talking. I'm referring to the Palestinian people,
okay. So. Or the Gazans, as it were.
Gazans,
you know,
those are
we tackled the biggest questions in life. You know, you're not allowed to speak politics or religion, and here we did both. Tell everybody where they can find you.
And I completely agree with you that we need to have a place where we can speak in loving dialogue and hug and kiss and make up afterwards.
That's what we do. Thank you so much for your time. I got to leave it there.
Take care, Karen.
Grant Barry, take care. It was a pleasure.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.